Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the women of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Father, again, it's a blessing to be here. It's this wonderful Mother's Day where we recognize the moms. And we just pray, Father, that you would just be with us today in a special way for our moms and that are here. I pray, Father, that you would continue to work in the hearts of each person here as every message that you give us is for each and every one that's in the service. So I pray that we've come ready to receive from your word this morning. I pray you'd give me boldness to proclaim your word. I pray, Father, that you would give me the very words to preach this morning and that they would go out and they would touch hearts. They would change our lives for the better. And I pray, Father, we'd have ears to hear what you have to say to us, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Mother's Day, traditionally a day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit that they have produced to wash their dirty faces, right? How about for all the gum, the old chewed gum that they've had to hold? How about all the noses they wiped and all the bloody knees that they made well by giving them a little kiss, right? I thought, yeah, not some of us never bought that story that kiss made it all better, right? But especially those of us who can't handle blood, when there's blood, a kiss does not make it all better, right? But moms have had to do a lot. And so this is a Mother's Day, and we're rewarding those who've washed all those sheets in the middle of the night, right? I remember our kids, they'd get sick in the middle of the night, and they'd walk out of their bedroom, down the hallway, past the bathroom, into our bedroom, and stand next to my wife's side of the bed and proceed to be sick. And I said, "Can't you just stop on your way in the bathroom? Wouldn't that be so much easier?" And nope, the next time they'd do the same thing again. I said, "Well, praise the Lord, it's not my side of the bed, right?" But that's one of those things that moms put up with, right? And then moms get up and they take care of them and all that stuff. But how about driving kids to school when they miss the bus? Have to do that. Enduring all the football games in the rain. This is Appreciation Day for making your children finish something that they said they could not do, believing in them that they could do it, and making them finish it, even though they would say, "I hate you," and you not believing that they actually meant that when they said it. Sharing their good times and their bad times. Their cards today probably will not say it or reflect it, but what they're saying is, "Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being there." I always called my wife the helicopter mom. She always liked to rescue the children, right? They forget something at school, she'd be in the car and run it over there and get it to them. She'd be the helicopter mom, right? Always there to take care of everything that was needed. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, being the helicopter mom, although on occasion they have to do without so they can learn. When we are always there picking up after them, they don't learn the importance of taking care of themselves. There are women in the Bible who I could have used today, would have been excellent sermon texts in the Bible, right? We have many different moms that would have been great, such as Jochebed, the mother of Moses. How about Hannah, the mother of Samuel? Or maybe even Mary, the mother of Jesus. We could have used very many different ones, but that's not what God gave me. God gave me this one in Matthew, and this is an unknown woman. Matthew doesn't even tell us her name. But there's some things we can learn from her. There's some, and I'm not just talking to the moms here. There's some things the dads can learn from this as well. There's some things that we can all learn from this today. She had everything stacked against her. This woman had everything stacked against her. But she was a woman of great faith. A woman of great faith. She exemplifies all. There's that word again, all. The time we use that, we need to understand that includes everything. All of us, the kind of faith and prayer life we should have. We should have the faith and prayer life like this person. And whether you're a mom or not, we should have this kind of prayer life. She wasn't going to give up. She needed something taken care of, and she knew where to go. She was also a woman who received an answer to her prayer. We want to look at the text this morning as we look at a few things. I want to just point out 3 points here this morning. First, we note a mother who revealed her problem. A mother who revealed her problem. Look at verses 21 through 23. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." There are many, many troubled mothers in the world. Many troubled mothers in the world. There are many mothers with broken hearts today. There are mothers who are troubled because of their children suffering for some kind of mental disability or handicap or ailment. There are mothers trying to protect their children from the ravages of war. How about famine or disease? Maybe even a poor environment due to a drug-infested neighborhood. Our neighborhoods are being infested with fentanyl at an alarming rate. An alarming rate. And we've chosen to do nothing about it. And there's mothers. They're having a difficult time because they're concerned about their children. There's mothers. They're going through troubled marriages and they're trying to hold everything together for the sake of their children. The mother in our text was troubled because she had a desperate need. Desperate need. She had other problems too, I'm sure. There's no shortage of problems in our lives, right? But I'm sure she had some, but they seem small in comparison to this one big problem that she was facing right then. No doubt she had faced many trials with her daughter before, both great and small. For those of us who've had children, we face some trials in raising our children. It's not easy street. But there are some rewards. Some rewards. Any mother knows what it's like to sit by the bedside of their child when they've come down with some disease or something and we don't know what's going on, right? And you wonder, in this day and age, because they didn't have all of the advances that medicine has done over the years, it was not uncommon for children to get sick and not to make it through it. Sitting by the bedside thinking, will my child get better? God, take them from me. To all parents, all other problems seem small when our children's lives are at stake. But this woman is facing a greater need right now than anything she had faced before. She has this need, something I doubt that anybody in this building has ever even experienced. This woman is facing a situation where her daughter is demon-possessed. This is a grave situation here. And not simply possessed, but this woman told Jesus her daughter was grievously vexed. Praise the Lord, we have not dealt with this. When she says grievously vexed, she means the demon tormented her mercilessly. Almost easy to say, right? I believe that a demon can only have control of a person's life if they voluntarily give over a critical area of their life to satanic control. And it cannot be done in a saved person's life. Only a lost person can be demon-possessed. Leads me to believe that this daughter of hers was probably of teenage years. It's my own opinion. You know, any problem a mother faces can be deeply troubling, but the most distressing of all is parental problems is the devil's attack on our children. We need to be in prayer. Constant prayer. We need the protection of God's hand on our children's lives. We need our children to make good decisions. We need God to protect them from sinful things which can allow the enemy to get a foothold in their lives. You know, you can't be with your children 24/7. You can't. And people say, well, you only worry about them when they're in the house. No, that's not true. You have less control when they're out of the house. And you have to trust God to take care of them. You have to trust that their upbringing they won't depart from. You have to trust that they will stay true to the Lord. We can't guide and direct them 24/7 for their entire life. But we also need to realize that Satan is out there wanting to destroy our children's lives. He wants to get to our children. He does it through television and in movies. He'll rob them of their innocence. And today, I have to tell you, it's amazing what they'll put on television these days. I know you're thinking I'm talking about the shows. I'm talking about the commercials. It's amazing, the stuff that they put out there. I'm going to go here for a minute. I'm going to step out on a limb. I was thrilled when one certain company lost billions of dollars because of a stupid stunt they pulled that was aimed at our children. Yeah. I think more of them need to lose billions of dollars for their stupidity. And I make no apologies for that. The music industry is out to destroy the moral compass of our children, diminish their godly aspirations. On the street, they're out to tempt them and enslave them with alcohol, drugs, pornography, and they need our prayers. It's amazing. You used to think pornography was kept aside and all. Now it's in your face 24/7. As this woman came to Jesus, everything was against her. Everything was against her. First, her ethnic background. Right? Verse 22 tells us that she's a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. Ooh. The Jews were terribly racist, especially against all Gentiles, and the Canaanites in particular. Her gender was against her. You see, because most of the Jewish rabbis looked at women as no better than the children. Now I will tell you, here's a soapbox for me for a minute. I'm getting a little irritated with independent Baptist movement where women are lower status than the men. They are not your possession. They are your helpmeet. I tell you, I get so tired of hearing that. Where in the Word of God does it say that she is your slave? It's not in there. She is your helpmeet. She is there to complement you, to walk beside you, to help you. And yet, I don't know where independent Baptists got it, but I hear it more and more and more, and I'm tired of it. It's not in the Word of God. And that movement needs to come to an end. Third, it seemed the disciples were against her. The woman came to Jesus by faith, and she would not give up. Praise the Lord, she didn't give up, right? She basically made a pest of herself. She wouldn't go away. And then the disciples go to Jesus and say, "You need to send her away. She's bothering us," right? Finally, her religion was against her. By religion, as a Canaanite, up until then, she had been a pagan, which might explain why her daughter was demon-possessed, since the religion of the Canaanites were particularly depraved. But on this day, there'd be a change. There'd be a change. Second, notice with me a mother who remained persistent in prayer. Look at verses 22 through 27. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Notice that this woman came to Jesus with her problem. She came there. Blessed is the woman who knows where to go for her problems. I thank God she went to the right place. When a woman has problems with her children, she too often goes to different sources for help. She'll go to all the latest secular child-raising gurus, which, by the way, don't have clue one what they're doing, and yet are trying to tell you how to. I like Dr. Spock. You know Dr. Spock didn't have children? Isn't that interesting? The one who's trying to tell you how to raise your children didn't have any. Interesting, huh? I find that just a little twisted. I used to tell people all the time, you raise your children, I'll raise mine. And this idea that it takes a whole city to raise a child, I've seen what happens out in the city. I didn't want them raising my children. Fortunately, they also go to talk show hosts. try to find out what they have to say. Some haven't figured out why they get paid in the first place. What do you need them for? If you got a problem, you don't need to go to those places. You need to go to the Word of God. You need to get on your face before Almighty God and cry out to Him. Praise God, this woman had not heard about these things, but she had heard about Jesus. She'd heard about the one who could help her in her time of need. She had heard not only that He could heal the sick, give sight to the blind, make the lame to walk again, but that all demons and spiritual principalities and powers were subject unto Him. Praise the Lord. She came to the only one that could help her. The only one who can really help us with our children is God. People say, well, yours are grown and have children of their own. Yes, they are. Doesn't mean I don't keep praying for them. They need it. I want God to make sure they make right decisions. I want God to make sure they raise my grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to make sure that they're provided for. I want to make sure they're kept safe and healthy. So I pray for them. My wife and I pray daily for our children and our grandchildren. We need to do that. God uses preachers and Christian brothers and sisters to help point us back to Jesus and to the Bible, but ultimately Jesus is the answer. He may use Christian books and magazines to help direct us to Jesus, but ultimately Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who can solve our problems. Yeah. I don't care if they're with our children or with anything else in our life. Jesus is the answer. His book, the Bible, gives the right answers for rearing our kids the right way. This woman, though she was previously a pagan unbeliever, came to believe everything about Jesus. She believed He was the promised Son of David. She said that. She believed in His deity. She called Him Lord. She believed in His power to answer her request. And she believed He was interested and would answer. Do we believe that Jesus is interested in our requests and that He will answer them? Because sometimes I think we pray not believing, but we pray unbelieving. We need to pray believing that God's going to answer our prayers. Heard a guy, I want to say 2 weeks ago now, said, God doesn't answer prayers. Said, well, maybe you should find out if you know Him. Because He does. All the time. Moms, how about dads too for that matter? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? You have to be if you want to go to Him and have your prayers answered. Have you come to the place where you put your faith in Christ alone to save you? Not your works, not your goodness. I mean, all these people that think they're too good for Jesus, I'm sorry. The Bible says you're not. And I'm going to go with the Word of God. Don't trust in your religion. I got some people who have told me flat out, unless you're an independent Baptist, you're not going to heaven. That's trusting in religion. We don't need religion, we need a relationship. We need to be right with God. We need to let Him guide and direct our life. We need to put our faith and trust in Him and Him alone, not in anything else. Our good works couldn't get an inch off the floor. We're not going to heaven on good works, folks. Jesus was the only answer for the woman's daughter's problem, and he's the only answer for our souls. He can forgive you of your sin, fill your heart with joy, give you peace, and provide you strength to face life's greatest struggles. We all have struggles we're going through. Nobody's immune. We all have struggles. Jesus can help us through them. Think about the problems that were confronting this woman. And notice that Jesus did not answer her at first. Right? What did it say? He didn't answer her. But he answered her not a word in verse 23. But I just said that he answers prayer, right? He does. In his timing. Have you ever waited for God to answer a prayer? Yeah. I like these people who say, you know, I prayed and 10 seconds later God answered my prayer. Well, praise the Lord, he did. I know in my life sometimes it takes months before I get an answer to a prayer. And some people say, well, that's not like instant oatmeal. I want an answer now. Why is he making me wait? Well, because he's trying to work something in your life. And look at her. What was he doing? He didn't answer right away. It wasn't to destroy her faith. It was to enlarge it. It was to draw it out of her. Her own reply showed that she was growing in faith. Jesus wanted to test the sincerity and depth of her faith. This Canaanite woman was unwilling to let Jesus go without an answer to her request, which is exactly what Jesus wanted to see. How easy we give up. We pray for something once and we go, well, I prayed for it. Did you give up? We have a prayer list, right? Every Thursday night we go through the prayer list, each week after week after week, right? And we pray for everything on that list. Every single month, everything on that list gets prayed for. And if you're like some of us, some of that stuff gets prayed every day, right? Why? Because it's important to us that we pray until we get an answer to prayer. My wife and I have been praying for a gal to get saved. Her mother asked us to do that. Last night I got a text. Mom sent us. My daughter got saved. Praise the Lord. So this morning when we prayed, guess what happened? She got moved on the Lord, please touch her heart that she would get saved. Because she already is. We no longer have to pray for that one. Praise the Lord. That's been going on for years. What if we gave up? What if nobody prayed for her after one time? They'll say, well, she got saved anyway. We don't know that. Do you know that? I don't know that. So you keep praying. And I'm not saying this because this is a pat on my back that I pray every day for people. We should all be praying every day. We should be concerned about others and where they're going to spend eternity. So we pray. And we need to do that. And this woman prays and prays and prays. And she doesn't give up. And Jesus just wanted to see that she had faith. And believed that Jesus was the answer. She also faced the problem of insensitive disciples who wanted her sent away. Sometimes we can be insensitive. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Again, she would let nothing deter her. She came to Jesus with a request repeatedly, proving the depth of her faith. I tell you, if all mothers worldwide had faith like that, where they wouldn't give up praying until their prayers were answered. The kind of woman who comes to God for their needs. For their needs. The kind of woman who will not give up praying and seeking God's face until He answers. The the kind of woman who prays and does it faithfully and without wavering and earnestly, as this woman did with Jesus. Yeah. You ever occurred to you that sometimes Jesus doesn't answer your prayers right away because he wants to know a few things? He wants to know your earnestness and your fervency. James 5:16 says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are we going to keep going and keep going and keep going till he answers? Or are we just going to give up? Well, I prayed for that. Check that box. Oops, I prayed for that one. Check that box. Now I don't have to pray for those ever again because I've already done it once. It'd be nice if that's how it worked, wouldn't it? But where's your faith? What's your prayer life like? Moms? How about dads? What's your prayer life like? How faithful and persistent are you in your prayers, especially for children, for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if you're fortunate to have them? We have seen, first, a mother who revealed her problem to the Lord, and second, a mother who remained persistent in her prayers, and third, a mother who received a promise from the Lord. Matthew 15:28 says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Wow. I don't know about you, but I think, wow. Jesus said here, O woman, great is thy faith. Jesus said that. That's a whole lot better than great is your beauty, or great is your wardrobe, or great is your professional achievements, or great is your community influence, or great is how you decorate your house. No, he said, great is thy faith. Thy faith. I tell you, we think that some of these things are so important. And here, right here, we've got this perfect illustration of 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll look at verses 3 and 4, but women devote a lot of time to their outward appearance. And I have to tell you that in this day and age, and it's kind of significant to some people, right? You want to look presentable to the world when you go out in it, right? For some. Like I said earlier, it seems like everything rolls out of bed and gets without getting dressed and going out in public these days. But we need to do that. People on this, it's important to people that when you go out, you show yourself presentable to the word. But I'm going to tell you right now, to God, it's more important about the heart. The outward appearance doesn't mean so much to him. Now look at verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." Jesus didn't commend this woman for the adornment of her clothing or the style of her hair or the beauty of her makeup or the elegance of her earrings. He said, "O woman, great is thy faith." Because that's what's important. Now notice the reward of her persistent faith. Matthew says her daughter was made whole from that very hour. From that very hour, her faith was rewarded. She came to Jesus. She would not give up. She had great faith, and Jesus honored her faith and persistent prayer. Let's not give up. We're praying for people. Let's not give up. moms, and all of us here today, what does God want you to take away from today's sermon? What does God want from this? Start with the most basic question. How's your faith? How's your faith? Are you saved today? For you can only come to God by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. What He did on that cross in your place. If you're already a believer, how deep is your faith? Jesus said over and over to His disciples, "Ye of little faith," right? I wonder how He feels when He looks down on this earth and He looks on people and He wonders how great their faith is. So how is our faith? How is our faith? How real is your commitment? How strong is your walk with the Lord? Then how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? You know what I found out about praying? You can do it anywhere. You can drive down the road just talking up a storm with God. You can be mowing the lawn just talking up a storm with God. You can't hear anything, the mower's too loud, but you can talk up a storm with God, right? In fact, the other day, I was out mowing the lawn. Came in the house, my wife said something, I said, "I can't hear you," I took the hearing aids out. But why have them in? I'm mowing the lawn, you can't hear anything anyway. And then it muffles the sound from the mower, so it's a win-win situation as far as I was concerned, right? But it's a great opportunity to just spend some time with God. Go out. I'll tell you, you want to do something that nobody will bug you? You go out and you start digging up weeds. People come up, you, well, I'll talk to you, just grab a shovel and just keep. Nobody wants to be told that, so they leave you totally alone when you're out there doing that. You want to take some time and spend some time with God? There's all kinds of places you can find to spend time alone with God. You don't have to wait till you come to the house of God. Do it wherever you need to. Where do you go with your problems about your children or in life in general? Where do you go? When you face life's problems, when they're leaning too heavily on you, where do you go? Do you go to your spouse? Do you go to some counselor? Do you go to the TV talk show host? Do you go to some self-help book? Where do you go? Do you go to man's thinking and philosophy for your answers, or do you go to God? I tell you, if you go to man, they're going to be insufficient at best. At best. They'll be dangerous at worst. Come to Jesus with your problems about your children and about everyday life. He has the answers. He is the answer. Even if He chooses not to answer your request according to your desire, did you get that? According to your desire. Sometimes God answers it differently. We have to be okay with that, right? He's the only one that's going to give you peace in the storm. Women of great faith and prayer could literally change the world. We praying for our elected officials. We should be. If God's people don't pray for them, who's going to? Prayer does indeed change things, but also because of the example of persistent, faithful prayer in faith gives to our children that can be a source of great inspiration to them as they grow. Children need to know the importance of prayer. May God help each of us examine our own heart and make some solemn commitments to trust in God and be committed to faithful, earnest prayer. This woman, we don't even know her name. She's nameless. But there's a lot we can learn from her. And God thought it was important enough to put it in His Word. I thank God for mothers. Thank God for them. They have a difficult job. Difficult job. And we think, how hard can it be? If you've raised children, you know how hard it can be. It's a difficult job. And thank God for them. Because every child is a gift from God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace towards us. We thank you for moms. And what a blessing they are. Father, I pray that as moms have such a huge, huge influence on the lives of their children, I pray that they understand the importance of prayer, the importance of taking these issues before the throne of grace. I thank you for all moms that are willing to pour their lives into the life of their children. Father, I pray as we have a time of invitation now, I pray that those here today that know Christ as Savior, that their faith is strong, that their prayer life is continual. But I pray, Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, that today would be that day. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish during this time of invitation, and will not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.